in the foyer just outside the sanctuary, or if you got the newsletter, in the newsletter that should have come this weekend in the mail, there's a Kingdom Prayer Guide, and I wanted to just bring that to your attention. So if you don't get the newsletter, out in the foyer, there's this Kingdom Prayer Guide. Right now, we're in a series on Kingdom Prayer using the Lord's Prayer, how the gospel of grace saturates Jesus's teaching us to pray and how we should pray. As a matter of fact, some have asked me, "Wade, do you really think I should pray this Lord's Prayer daily?" And I say, well, it should be a pattern and a guide. And as a matter of fact, the request we come for today is actually Jesus' illustration of why we should think we might use the pattern of the Lord's Prayer daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus wants to be the one whom we depend on, whom leads us. And this is a good little guide. You'll find in it a sheet I know for some of you, you have extensive prayer journals. I'm not trying to take you away from your prayer journal. But if you're like me and you like to have a prayer guide on one sheet to remind you and yet direct your prayers, in the back of this is a little prayer guide that will help you and put some feet on the things that we have been discussing over the past few weeks. We're moving one petition at a time, not because the pastor likes to go slow. We're moving one petition at a time because this prayer encompasses all of life. We have come this far in the Lord's Prayer. We have done the Godward orientation of the prayer that focuses on God's glory. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." That's the Godward orientation of our prayer. Our prayers are not biblical unless they begin and then, but particularly begin with God in His worship, in His kingship, and that His will may be done in our lives. This morning we open up the second half of the Lord's Prayer, where we pray for God's provision, God's pardon, and God's protection. Here's where the prayer gets down to earth. And this is the most down to earth of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." But in those three petitions, "Give us this day our daily bread," "Forgive us," "Lead us not into temptation," is the whole of the Christian life, is it not? They can be marked out as a paradigm of really what we need to live to follow Jesus. And so this morning we want to consider God's Word together. Here again, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And then we'll ask God to help us to understand His Word. "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Pray with me. Our Father and our God, what a joy it is to come before you and to realize that we need you. Father, it's not our natural inclination to trust you with everything. But I pray, Father, that you would open your word, that you would open to us the very treasuries of heaven, that we would see the beauty of being your child, that we might delight that we are your children and that you have us and that you provide for us. Father, give us a constant and willing dependence. And as you open your word to our ears, give us ears to hear, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This week in a Gallup poll, Gallup reported that 40% of Americans are concerned about their personal financial situation. That compared to what most polls say, that 70 to 80% of Americans are concerned about the state of the national economy and whether it will crash or not. This is not a particularly confident day in our country, in our welfare, in our being, and particularly within our economic status. It's a good time for economists, isn't it, Tim? People really want to hear what economists have to say about the future of our country. We would love to define when things will get better, right? If you've got money in a financial institution right now, you might be a little more nervous this year than you were this time, say, February of 08. It's a challenging time. As a matter of fact, I would propose to you what's true right now is really what should be true in our lives. You better not today read the Wall Street Journal without reading the Bible alongside it, or your heart will quake. Matter of fact, every time you read the Wall Street Journal, I'd hold the Bible in the other hand so that you can get your status, your understanding, your reminder of who sits on the throne in heaven. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We acknowledge the giver of life, don't we? God is that giver. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned about finances and retirement funds and children education and those kind of things. We should. God calls us to store in appropriate ways, but He calls us not to find our confidence in what we store, but to find our confidence in our God. Give us this day our daily bread. The prayer for daily bread is really a prayer of dependence. But truth be told, we like to depend on ourselves, don't we? We like independence. We like to see how we can go on our own. As a matter of fact, I came across a little cartoon. You know, the cartoons and the satirists, they're best at this point. Calvin and Hobbes, a little Calvin and Hobbes economics for you this morning. Calvin opens his own lemonade stand. Sets up for business, and on the front he has lemonade and the cost, and a young lady walks up to Calvin and says, $15 a glass? And Calvin responds, that's right. Want some? How can you justify charging $15? Supply and demand, says Calvin. Where's the demand? I don't see any demand. She's the only one standing. There's no one in line. There's lots of demands. Yeah, she says. Sure, says Calvin. As the sole stockholder in the enterprise, I demand monstrous profits for my investment. As the president and CEO of the company, I demand an exorbitant annual salary. And as my own employee, I demand high hourly wages and all sorts of company benefits. And then there's overhead and actual production costs. The girl looking at the lemonade says, it looks like you've thrown lemon in sludge water. Calvin says, yes, I must keep down the costs. You're out of your mind, the girl says. I'm going home to drink something else. Drink something else. Calvin's response, sure, put me out of a job. It's you anti-business types who ruin the economy. Standing there disgruntled before his $15 a glass picture of lemonade, Calvin walks into the house and says to his mom, Mom, I need a subsidy. That's how we respond to economics, right? There's got to be a way to figure it out. There's got to be something that I need. And if somebody won't give me what I want and buy my product, then we'll get a subsidy for it. But you know, the gospel doesn't look at our needs that way, does it? As a matter of fact, Jesus never promises all our greeds. He promises us all of our needs. He never promises us all the luxuries we desire in the world, but He promises us all the necessities of life. He promises to provide. You see, what you need to understand right off the bat here is that God's provision is true for His children. It is trustworthy for its children. It is always timely to His children. God is there always. And He shows us the beauty of His grace when we need it most. See, we need God's daily provision. But we're prone to live like we don't need God's daily provision. But here in this request, there is really the acknowledgement of two things. Everything we have is a gift of God. And everything we need comes from the hand of God. First this morning, God's provision is true. God's provision is true. Give us this day our daily bread. It's an invitation Jesus gives us to ask God for exactly what we need. Our problem is sometimes we think that we don't need God in what we get. Any of you ever seen the movie Shenandoah? It's an old movie, a long time ago. I think it was it Jimmy Stewart who played in Shenandoah? At one point, Jimmy Stewart, as he's the main character in the movie Shenandoah, his wife has died, and she was the one who kind of handled all the spiritual things in the house, like praying for meals. And after her death, he sits down with his kids for dinner, and he's ready to start eating. And the kids say, "Well, we got to pray, Dad. We got to have a prayer." The arrogance of Jimmy Stewart's quickly revealed as he gives this short prayer. "Lord, thank you for this meal. We plowed the ground. We planted the seed. We pulled the weeds. We've harvested the wheat. We ground the flour. We baked the bread. But thank you, Lord, for this meal." You ever get that Jimmy Stewart mindset? "When I really don't need you, God. I've really got this on my own." If you've got that mindset, whether you're convinced of the gospel or unconvinced of the truth of the gospel, you've missed the big picture. Here's the big picture. Everything you have is a gift of God. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of light, James tells us. The half-brother of Jesus, he reminds us that everything we have is a product of God's grace and beneficence in our life. Everything. But you say, "Wait, I've gotten what I've gotten by my sweat equity, by my ingenuity, by my hard work, by putting my face to the stone and working hard." And I would say, yeah, we pray and we work. We ask and we act. You know, the Bible teaches if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat, right? But you underestimate your dependence upon God if you think you got it by your hand, by your strength and your power. Your intelligence, that's a gift of God. Your opportunities, those are a gift of God. Your condition, your place in life, your status, your presence here in Bryan College Station, that's all a gift of God to you. Everything you have is a gift of God. God's provision is true because God is true. And we need to get the big picture before we really dive into the petitions itself. We really need to see that the big picture is all we are and all we have is a gift of God. You know, in the gospel, we're told that He is our provision, that God gives us Himself as our portion. That's the gift of life and eternal life. But we're also told that we are His portion. We are God's inheritance. And the joy of the Christian life is to be His and to depend on Him. God who graciously gives good to His children. You may think you have made it on your own, but the truth is we are only lulled by our affluence. We need God. We need Him as our daily bread. You know, we tend to think of bread in our country as a snack, right? When you go to a restaurant, it's the snack that comes before the entree, right? Bread is just the snack that you get at the beginning of the meal. If you want a few extra calories, you can eat it. And if you don't need the calories, you forego that, right? You don't have the bread before the meal. But in Jesus' day, bread was the staple of life, right? It was the staple of the economy. The economy depended on whether you could get your daily bread. And people in Jesus' day, the laborer in Jesus' day, knew what it meant to live hand to mouth, to work, and just get enough to have and be able to provide daily bread for his family. You know, some of us maybe understand that a little more with the crisis of economy in our day, that we really do depend on God. But what's meant here by when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? What is it that's meant here? Well, let me expand that for you. You know, some are too prideful to ask God to give them their daily bread. But when you ask God to give you your daily bread, what you're really praying, that's a metaphor for all the necessities of life. That God would give you your meal. Believers are thankful for every meal that comes from God's hand. That God would give you your health. Your health is a gift from God. That God would give you your work. Everything we have is from God's hands. And God is true in providing for us. And He promises day by day to care for us. Depend upon God. Because God, our Father, takes pleasure in meeting our needs. Our daily bread is our daily necessities. And we all need to ask God for what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I will depend upon you. When we say give, we acknowledge that our life and the fatness of life is from His hand. Jesus is not teaching us in prayer here that we will never lack for what we want, but He does promise that we will never lack what we need. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. First, I want you to see God's provision, that God is the one who meets and gives us our necessities. And it's no trivial matter to come and seek from God what we need for our day. But secondly, I want you to see, not only is God's provision true, God's provision is trustworthy. God's provision is trustworthy. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice, it's not just individuals that God blesses, it's communities that God blesses. And when we pray this prayer, we're actually trusting God, not just for our own provision, but we're praying for the provision of a church, for the provision of a community, for the provision of the nation. It's a prayer not only for our daily bread personally, but it's a prayer to end poverty. It's a prayer that's adverse to poverty. It's a prayer that's adverse to economic destruction within our country. It's a prayer that asks God to bless for God's sake and for our good. It's a prayer that is community. Notice, none of the requests in the Lord's Prayer are in the singular. I'm not saying you can't ask God for your daily bread. There are times when you must. But it's not enough to ask God only for your daily bread. We are to ask God to bless our family and our church and our community. Give us this day our daily bread. And when we ask God for that, He delights to give to His children. The great missionary or man who started orphanages, George Mueller. I was reading about him this week. At one point near the end of his life, he was reflecting upon God's goodness to him, but not only to him, but to a community of orphans who had come through his orphanage. Did you know that he had more than 9,500 orphans live in his home through the years? He never asked anyone for money, but he prayed diligently that God would provide for their needs. And at the end of his ministry, he recorded that more than 1.5 million pounds had been given to his ministry. George Mueller's life was a testimony to the trustworthiness of God. He always found God faithful, God trustworthy. There were many occasions when it looked like it would all fall apart, when he and his orphans would set the table with nothing to put on the plates, and somehow a knock would come at the door and God would provide their lunch or their supper. George Mueller's testimony is a reminder to us that God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy to meet my needs. He's trustworthy to meet your needs. And He's trustworthy to meet our needs. That our God is great. And the way He puts feet on His greatness is through a community of grace like this who meets needs and who loves one another well. Give us this day our daily bread. My best friend from college a couple of years ago went through a real rough patch. The father of four, a husband with a lovely wife, had done real well in the community and work, but he was downsized. For 9 months, he couldn't find a job. He and his wife believed that God didn't want him to go in debt. They would trust God for their daily bread. He said at the end, after he has a very good job now, after he got another job and after they had come out a little bit, he wrote me and he said, "Wade, you wouldn't believe God's faithfulness. 9 months without anything. We exhausted our resources in less than 3, and at the end of 9 months, we came out with $300 in debt. And that was my fault. God was true. God was true. God was true." God is trustworthy. The great thing about Chuck and his family is that they were a part of a community of faith that loved him. As a matter of fact, his father was the founding minister of that church, though he had long left that church and retired and moved into another community. But there were people there who walked along with them. $25, $50, $100 at a time. Whenever there was a need, God met it. We are the hands and feet of God's grace to others. Give us this day our daily bread is not only a prayer to depend upon God, but it's a prayer to be dependable in the grace of God to others. God is trustworthy, and He calls us to be a giving people. because He is a generous God. You know, how can an economic earthquake like this be helpful? Have you ever thought about that? You know, I think most of us, as I began to think about the spiritual implications of recession, there are two ways you can preach that, right? And I saw one preacher this week. He said, there are two ways you can preach that. You can say, you know, we all need to get out of debt, right? That's the lesson, right? You got $4, don't spend $7, you know? And we can moralize it and say that's what you should learn. But you know what we really should learn from an economic situation like this? That God really is our provision. That what the gospel teaches us is that we need more than $4 or $7. We need God. And God is trustworthy to us. The way that this can be helpful to us as believers is to find that our trust is not in Bank of America. Bank of America may fail you. But our trust in God will not fail. You see, we need to understand that God's provision is trustworthy. And it's not a give-me prayer, it's a give-us prayer, that we would pray and hold fast to the beauties of the gospel. As we hold the Bible and Wall Street Journal in our hands, we are reminded that one is truer than the other. The Wall Street Journal is a commentary on the day. The Bible is a commentary on God. And at the end of the day, our trust must be in the trustworthiness of God. Our Father is trustworthy. It's a prayer of humility. It's a prayer of contentment. And it's a prayer of kindness. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes to the fact that You provide for us. Open our eyes to the fact that we can help others. Open our eyes to give for Your glory. God's provision is true. God's provision is trustworthy. But thirdly, I want you to see this morning that God's provision is timely. Notice there in the text again. Give us this day our daily bread. How far in advance does God promise what we need? That's really the question there, right? How far in advance? Does He promise all that we need for the whole of life? Absolutely, but He's going to do that day by day. You may not know where every penny's coming for your children's education. You may not know where every penny's coming for the wedding of your child. You may not know where it's coming for the next meal. But here's God's promise. Day by day, He will provide. He is dependable. And His gifts are timely. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer. It's not a veiled selfishness. It's a prayer of honest need, right? Any of you ever heard that preacher story about the man who was talking to God and he said to God, God, how long is a million years to You? And God says, a million years to Me is a second. And the man says to God, God, how much is $1 million to You? And He says, $1 million to Me is but a penny. And the man says, can I have $1 million? And God says, you got a second? God will give us what we need when we need it. That's the angst of this prayer. And until we get that, we will be anxious and fearful of heart. But if there's a real need, God meets our real needs. Now we should have foresight. We should save. We should have the wisdom of the ants in the Proverbs to save and to have a rainy day fund. But you can't depend on that rainy day fund. You've got to depend on God. Because He's the one who promises to meet our need in its time. You know, when the Israelites were making their turn around the wilderness for 40 years because of their grumbling, God gave them manna in the desert, didn't He? Day by day, if they kept more than a day's worth, it rotted. Why? Because the ultimate goal of this prayer is dependence. Willing and constant dependence upon God. And God won't ever let you get outside that. As a matter of fact, the American dream is to get all you can get and to hold on fast, right? The American dream is to be wealthy. Now, God gives some wealth. Daniel Doriani says there's a great difference in becoming wealthy by working hard. That's a blessing of God. But there's a great difference in that in working hard to become wealthy. The difference is this. Who is your God? And the truth is, in the Bible, it's not wealth that's commended to us. It's provision that's commended to us. The American dream is to be wealthy. The biblical dream is to be middle class. Did you know that? I bet you didn't know that. Now, our president defines middle class as $250,000 or less. Now, some of you would like to be upper middle class, right? But biblical middle class is the provision when we need it, as we need it, God promises. You say, wait, I'm not so sure about this. Well, let me tell you this. This prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is built upon a proverb, I believe. It's probably built upon the proverb, Proverbs chapter 30. Hear this verse, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 and 9, God's Word. Remove far from me the falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord. You know what the best life is? The best life is to be dependent upon God. The poor man and the wealthy man, they have a harder life than you have. They have a harder life than you have. Why is that? Because the poor man may steal and deny the name of the Lord. And the rich man may come to depend on himself and forget the name of the Lord. But God's goal for us is to be dependent upon Him day by day and to see that His gifts are timely. You know, most of us want something more. We'd love to be wealthy, but we forget that most of those who have wealth have, in this kind of time, it's a tough time for the wealthy man. You know why? Because they got to not only worry about where their mouth, how their mouth's going to be fed, but the 10, 20, 30, 50 people under them who work for them, how they're going to be fed. And it's a tougher time for those who are already in poverty. You know why? Because when our resources dry up, there's nothing left, right? And so giving takes a dive. But here's the beauty. God's gifts are timely. Our goal is not to pray to be too wealthy or too poor, but to have what God intends us to have, for our God provides. So what do we do with this prayer? Well, we pray it daily because we need the reminder that we are dependent on God. Give us this day our daily bread. And even as we pray that prayer, we should search our lives for two things, for gratitude and generosity. Here's what we do. Here's how the outworking of the prayer lives in our lives, that we find our confidence in the dependence of God so that God's gifts demand our gratitude. And God's gifts distinguish our generosity. God's gifts demand our gratitude. Here's my question. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for what God has given you? Are you thankful? Have you learned to give thanks? Here's an assignment for you. You know, sometime at night when I pray with my kids, I like to thank God for the lights and the air conditioning and the roof over our head and the mattress on our bed and the water that we can take a shower for. And sometimes I'll hear them praying that as well. You know why I pray that way? Because I want to remind my soul and their souls that everything's a gift of God. And we need to live with thankfulness. When you become thankful for the simple things, you'll be surprised at how much God has given you. Live the thankful life. The prayer, give us this day our daily bread, exists in this concept. The concept that God's gifts demand our thankfulness. Trust is born out of thankfulness. Grace gives way to gratitude. Let us be a thankful people. Everything you need, God will give at the right time. But also, God's gifts distinguish our generosity. You know, it could be that you would just hear me say, Pastor Wade say, give, give, give. You know, this is not a give me, give me, give me passage, but it's not just a give, give, give passage either. If you miss the reason that we give, you miss the joy of giving. The reason that we give is because our God is so generous. Our generosity is just an overflow of His generosity to us. You see, it's all anchored in the gospel and the gifts of Jesus. We need to remember that when we give for His glory. And we give because He is our provision. We give because He is a good God. We are to provide for our families and our church and our community in the bounty of what God gives. We need to not twist God's arm. God's arm doesn't need to be twisted. He delights to be generous with His children. This week I was in a restaurant, and I've been cultivating a relationship with the proprietor of this restaurant. And so he knows I'm a pastor, and we talk sometimes. And so I walked up to register, and he happened to be running the register, and he said, "It's on me today." I said, "Well, thank you." He said, "Yeah. God didn't answer my prayer this week. I think He's mad at me. And so I'm going to try to get in His good graces again." Well, I had a few comments for that, but you know what I felt like? I felt like I was His breakfast Buddha. He was just rubbing my belly so that He might be able to get in God's good graces again, right? That's a misunderstanding of the generosity of God. God may not give us all our luxuries, but He will give us all our needs. Now I have to go deeper to find out where He missed God or where He thinks God missed Him. But I don't want you to miss God. God's not your breakfast Buddha. He doesn't need you to twist His arm to get what you want for Him. All He asks is to depend, to rest, and to rejoice. You see, our daily bread comes from the One who is the bread of life. Our daily bread comes from the One who gives us not only what we need physically, but what we need spiritually, that we may glorify Him in everything. You see, the disciples in Jesus' day, when He fed the 5,000s, when He fed the people, they missed Him. They were ready to sign up for the free meal ticket, right? Jesus, anywhere you go, we'll go too. Anywhere you go, you know, they were ready for the meal ticket, right? What did Jesus say? You can't just feast on the bread, you got to feast on Me. But you know what the disciples missed? Those who were following Jesus loosely at the moment, what they missed is that Jesus is life for us. You'll never understand how to pray for your daily bread until you understand that Jesus is the bread of life and He's the giver of life and He sustains us in every way. God, our Father, who gave His Son, broke His body, spilled His blood that we might have life. If He would give us His Son, how will He not give you everything you need for life and godliness? Beloved, you don't need to rub the pastor's belly to get God to do what you want to do. You need to love the Savior and know God is a God who provides. He is a God who provides. God's provision calls for our dependence. And that is the joy of the Christian life. It isn't pray for our weekly bread. It isn't prayer for our monthly bread. It isn't prayer for our yearly bread. It's prayer for our daily bread. So seek Him daily and depend. This is a prayer of dependence. And your God is faithful. Let's pray. Father, I want to bring our hearts before You because we are a needy people. Father, we thank You that You have given us much. And truth be told, though we have worries about the world, though we have worries about our provision, we need not worry because You are our God. And we ask, Father, that You would show us the wonder and abundance of Your provision. But Father, most of all, we would ask that You would show us that You are enough. You are enough. You are enough. For we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.